Jeremiah 32. I was meditating on the Lord this weekend, and this came up in my heart. And when I read this verse, it just went off inside of me. We're going to read a few verses in Jeremiah 32. You know, Jeremiah was an interesting prophet because people didn't like him very much. And they didn't like him because he'd say, "Thus saith the Lord," and I don't care whether you like it or not, because thus saith the Lord. Right? He used to say, you know, that this is what's going to happen, and you're going to be taken because of your sin. Things are going to happen to you, and so he was a man that was not very well liked. He was thrown in prison many times, but in Jeremiah 32. And let's go to verse, we could read the whole thing, but for time's sake, we're not going to. But in verse 17, and this is Jeremiah talking to him, he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you." And this morning, I just want to ask you a few questions about what can God do for you? What can God do for you? Have you given up on God? Have you given up on God working for you? Are there some promises that you've left aside because, you know, they haven't happened quick enough? Well, I feel like God is saying, this is so cool. Jeremiah's praying, said, you know, God, you can do it. Is there anything that's too hard for you? Is there anything too difficult? Now go down to verse 27. This is the verse that came alive to me. Verse 26 says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying," so God's about to say something. Jeremiah said something, and now God's about to say something. Verse 17, look at this, verse 27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He's the same God this morning. And he's saying to us, and he's saying to all flesh, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for him? What are you going through? What's facing you? What is it that you're believing God for? And have we stopped believing because we thought the situation was too difficult or without, you know, it hasn't happened yet? Well, maybe it's not God's will. We know this. We know that God can't do everything. What? When I was a kid growing up and in my, you know, adolescence time, there was once somebody said, "Can God do anything?" And the person says, "Well, can he make a rock that he can't lift?" Right? I mean, but here's the reality of things. God can only do things up to the point that our will is involved. See, the Bible says it's God's will for all men to be saved, for all men to come to know Jesus. But there has to be a place where the will of man is involved in that decision. In other words, he's not going to force you to obey him. He's not going to force you. So can God do everything? It's possible, but are we hindering what God wants to do in our lives? Is there something in us that says, "Well, God, maybe you would do it for somebody else, but you won't do it for me. Maybe, God, that's something you spoke to me or something that somebody prophesied over me, but it's been a while now, God, and I don't know. I don't know." I really believe in this year that the Lord spoke to me, or, you know, I felt impressed that 2021 is the year of restoration, that God is going to bring people back into his house that have been out for a long, long time. I believe that, but watch this. We have to be such that we take God at His word and believe for it. Do you know some people that seem impossible? Hello, maybe you're married. No, never mind. But maybe kids or some people that are just too far out there that God can't get through to. But I'm telling you today that nothing is impossible for Him. And I believe that we're entering into a time of a great harvest, but it begins in the house of God. It begins with us. It begins with us believing for our sons and daughters to come home.
Thank you, Lord.
When he's talking about Israel, he said, listen, there's coming a day from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. I'm going to draw all my people back, and we've seen it fulfilled in our generation. There was very few Jews living in Israel before 1948. But since that time, they've come from Russia, they've come from all over the Middle East. Even today, I was seeing something on Facebook, and it said that the Ethiopian Jews have returned, and there was many, you saw, watch them coming off of the plane, getting into Israel. God is fulfilling that. But why not us? Why not this year in our house, God returning people to Him? Do you know anybody that's like that? Do you know anybody that's maybe out there? Maybe you've preached the word to them. Maybe there are kids that we taught them as children and we brought them up in the word of God. Listen, we've had thousands, literally thousands of children come through this church. In Sunday school, youth group, right? And we've literally had thousands of people come through the church. I haven't counted them all or anything like that, but I know it's not in the hundreds, it's in the thousands. And if God's moved them on for whatever purpose, that's fine with me. But those that are out there that were hurt, either by their own, whatever, or they just went their own way, it's time for us to believe for them to come back. Right?
Yes.
And I believe that God wants to do it. Well, can God just do anything that He wants to do?
Amen.
Not necessarily. Well, I'll show you. Go to Mark chapter 9. And when it says, is there anything too hard for God? The Hebrew word is really interesting as you're turning to Mark chapter 9. It says that word hard means to be marvelous, wonderful, surpassing, extraordinary, separated by distinguishing action, beyond one's power. Is there anything that's too marvelous? Is there anything that's too wonderful? Is there anything that's too surpassing? I mean, it's just too great or extraordinary or separated, come on, by distinguishing acts. There's nothing that's too hard for God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that for yourself?
Yes.
Glory to God. We're going to see today that God wants us to expand in our hearts the capacity to believe for the impossible. Let me say that again. God wants us today to begin to imagine and view ourselves as candidates for the impossible to happen.
Amen.
Come on. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm the child of the God who made heavens and earth and everything in them. But chapter 9, and look at verse 14. We'll start there. It says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. So here were Jesus' followers, and here were the religious folks that came in and were causing a stir. And immediately they saw him. All the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one in the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and that they should cast it out, but they could not. They could not. Impossible situation. I'm desperate. I came here and I talked to your disciples. And I was trying to get to you, but you weren't here. I talked to your disciples. They couldn't do it. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. I'm just wondering if there isn't a part of us that doesn't trust God enough, that doesn't have an expectation that God can and He will, that we've prayed for too many people that nothing has seemed to happen, so we've kind of backed off of our aggressive belief. And He's saying to us, O faithful, faithless generation. Now this is really important. How long shall I be with you? See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But sometimes we put that into a formula that if I just speak the Word enough, or if I just quote the Word enough, then it'll come to pass. It's not about that. It's about you getting into relationship with the Holy Spirit and letting Him reveal the promise to you. Because once you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit in the promise, nothing shall be impossible to you. If God said it to you, if He spoke it to you, if the Holy Spirit really spoke it to you, then you can stand on it and know that it'll surely come to pass. I'm talking about faith that can move mountains. But it begins with knowing that God is big enough to take care of your hard things. What's your hard thing today? Is it a diagnosis? Is it a financial situation? Is it a family issue? Well, you know, that's just my lot in life to suffer. Oh, ye faithless generation. In other words, we have to, even if doesn't seem to be happening, God, you are big enough. And God, I'm standing on this and I'm going to continue to stand because you spoke this into my heart. That my son or my daughter or my grandchildren or my brother or my sister, they will serve you. Watch this. But we've got to look to Him and His Word more than we're looking at the situation. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go on. Glory to God. He said, and then they brought him to him, and he saw him, and immediately the spirit convulsed in him, fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. You know, I believe that in our relationship with God, the more we further it and the more we begin to, on purpose, believe God for His promises for us, the more that even demons will recognize us. How do I know? Is that possible? Well, in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to cast out demons, and the devil came up to them and said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? I want that to be, well, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, and Bruce we're pretty acquainted with. Right? Not because I'm anything, but because I believe that what Jesus promised to me is true. Yes. Right? Yes. And it's not about how much stuff I can accumulate or that, boy, I've got a ministry of demon casting. No, God, I want you to use me to set people free because I'm tired of people living their whole lives with broken hearts when you said you've already healed them. Well, you know, someday it'll all be over and it'll all be worth it. I believe He wants deliverance now. I believe He wants to see the oppressed freed now. Come on. But we have to be at the place where we're believing God and we're seeing God is big enough to handle anything that we're throwing at Him. Come on. Ooh, glory to God. Let Jesus talk to you this morning. Let Him talk to you this morning. Hallelujah. Look at this. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. As often as he's thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. I want to break that down just a little bit. Because to those who can't believe, all things are not necessarily possible. But if you can believe, all things are possible. I want us to get back to the place where we're believing for the impossible. And just instead of believing for the practical. There are some things that need to happen that are beyond the scope of our ability to do. Right? But God wants to use us to get them done. Amen. We're going to see that in just a minute. He wants us to be at the place where He can use us so that can people say, whoa, what's happening here? What's different here? And it comes out of our relationship with God and saying, God, in our prayer time, in our ministering to the Lord on a daily basis, say, God, I believe, but there's part of me that doesn't get it yet. Come on. Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, I think it's time for us to say, Lord, is there anything in me that's hindering you from using me to see the impossible happen in somebody else's life? Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe. I've seen your hand move, God. I've watched demons leave. I've watched people healed. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people filled with the Spirit. But God, is there something in me that's causing it not to happen with the frequency that you desire? Come on. I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Man, I believe for my children. I believe for my grandchildren. I believe for my brothers and my sisters. I believe for my friends, God. I believe that you're able to save them, God. I'm believing for a supernatural move of your Spirit, God. See, I believe that God can use me and He can put words in my mouth that have effect on other people. I believe that. But I'm not sure I believe that all the time. And why do I say that? Because I don't act like I do all the time. So Lord, I believe, but I want to get that unbelief out so the frequency is happening more. And again, not for me, not so that I can have this big name, but God, my heart is breaking for people. And I need to stand. I'm looking around. I've seen people that have been standing for things for years, and we're seeing things happen. But I think we're at an accelerated time because of what we're seeing in the world. The world is not going to accept your intellectual discussion anymore. They're just not. Because they've got an argument against your argument. But they can't argue with a thus saith the Lord that's coming by this, right? That they can't. You have a word that touches their heart. How did you know that? How is that possible It's because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing for that. Right? We know about the manifestations of the Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But in the end of the chapter it says, but covet the best gifts. Why? So I can walk around, yep, I operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. No. You covet that because somebody needs that. Covet. If you can believe, all things are possible. But don't fool yourself. If you're not believing, then get with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, reveal the Word to me in a different manner so that I can believe. Because I want my belief level to come to a different level because I see the need. Are you with me today? See, I'm believing for. I'm believing for this auditorium to be full. You know, I'm so grateful for all of you being here, and it's so awesome, and it's just a thrill to me. But I want to see it to where there are enough people coming in here that go out of here different because they've come into the presence of God. Come on. Does that make sense to you? And we need to believe that and begin to act on that. And you know, I mean, just really, it's like maybe we've been praying for people, but we left the belief part out of it and just got into the religious part and have no expectation of anything happening. But it's time to get back to, you said, Lord, to those who believe, to believers, if they lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. They'll cast out devils. Come on. Is that true today?
Yes.
Well, maybe that just happens in Africa. Maybe that just happens. No, it happens to those who believe. Come on. Come on. I'm tired of people being tormented and really... I've been hearing about people losing their lives because they have no hope. So they're committing suicide. This COVID thing, now I'm not saying anything about it, but that it's had some mental health issues associated with the isolation that's caused people to feel hopeless and disconnected and therefore totally alone. It's time for us to believe God that we can reach out to them and pick them back out of the despair and see them set free. Because we believe. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief because I don't want to continue to walk in this. Are you with me? We need to believe God for the impossible to be possible. I'm thinking about Joshua right now, and Joshua, he said, Lord, we're winning here, but we need the sun to stand still for a while so that we can continue the battle, so that we can completely... So the Bible says that the sun and the moon stayed in the same place for a day longer than it was supposed to. The sun didn't go down, and yet, why? Because Joshua believed that God, the same God that said, is anything too hard for me? What are you facing? What have the doctors told you? What have people told you? What have bankers told you? What is anything too difficult for me? No. All things are possible to those who believe. I want to look at John chapter 15 right quick. John chapter 15. I want to inspire us to begin to make 2021 a year of believing God for the impossible. We've limited ourselves because of what the doctors have told us. Thank you very much. We've limited ourselves because of what the bankers have told us. We've limited ourselves, and it's time for us to come out of that limitation. And the only way that we're going to get out of that limitation if we spend time with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and in connection with His Word and say, Lord, here's a promise. But this promise doesn't seem to be working in my life. I believe this promise is of You, and I know that You're a man that You wouldn't lie. But God, I want to spend time meditating with this. Holy Spirit, help me to see where I've disconnected with this promise. Because let's face it, the problem isn't with God. John chapter 15 and verse 7. He says, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. If you abide in Me, we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith for the impossible. We're saying that nothing is too hard for God. But He said, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. Disciples are supposed to bear fruit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to see more fruit. In my life, in my walk with God, in my ministry, which is nothing more than serving God, I want to see more fruit. I want to see more people blessed. I want to see more people helped. But it's not going to be by my natural, I mean, the natural and the supernatural work together, don't get me wrong, but it's not because I've learned something better. It's not because I have another degree. It's not because, and degrees are fine, and you can help people when you have more knowledge. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm talking about is the impossible can only be helped with the supernatural. Somebody who's bound by the enemy is not going to be free because you counsel them. They're going to be free when you have discerning of spirits, and by the power of God you cast the devil out of them. Is that radical? It's honest. It's truth. And that's what I'm believing for. That's what I want this year. Look at it. He said again, if anyone abides in Me and My words abide in you. Now, go to Psalm chapter 1. I want you to get this. The first Psalm. Now watch this, because this is so important. How do we get to that place? How do we get from the place of unbelief to belief? Anybody want to know? Anybody want to see God operate more in their lives this year? Anybody want God to use them more, for them to have more fruit this year than they did last year? Is it possible? Well, I don't know. If God wants to do it, He'll just do it. I don't think so. I don't think so. If God just wanted to cast the devil out of that boy, then the disciples could have just done it, because God was just going to do it. There was an element of faith that needed to be there in order for them to have the authority to take that over. God's already given us the authority. Jesus has already done the work, but we must get in agreement with that. Look at the psalm. You know the psalm, but pretend you don't. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's important who you hang around. It's important to what you're listening to. But his delight, or her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night.
Yes.
He meditates day and night. Now we know the law of the Lord that he's talking about in the Old Testament was the Pentateuch, but really it's the whole Bible that we're talking about. He that meditates, and I've got a footnote in my Bible about this word meditate. It means ponders by talking to himself. No. If you do what I'm telling you, you'll become super normal. And that's what we want, is super normal. We don't want just weird. We want super normal. Because there's some people that are just weird and they don't get anything done. Except cause the Lord to go, oh my, I got to clean that one up. But watch this. He meditates. He talks to himself, pondering the word day and night. Night and day.
Amen.
Night and day. So what does that look like? Lord, I read that verse that says, anything is possible to those who believe. But Lord, I'm with that fellow right there that I believe, but help thou therefore my unbelief. And Lord, I'm just, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to talk to you about that all day. And if I don't get the answer today, I'm going to talk with you about that tomorrow.
Amen.
And then if I don't get the answer to that again, I'm going to talk to you again this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Lord, until I am able to get it through my thick head, what your Spirit is trying to say to my heart, I'm going to continue to talk to myself about it constantly. Now watch this. If you have the Word and you've got the Word going off on the inside of you all the time, you know what that does? It shuts up a lot of voices.
Yes.
Right? In fact, if you're having trouble with fear, this is the answer to fear.
Yes.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yes. But you can take the Word of God and the promises of God and begin to talk to yourself about them constantly throughout the day, and it will dispel the thoughts that aren't supposed to be there. The Bible says that the weapons, that our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Right?
Yeah.
Then it says taking every thought captive and bringing it into the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? I'm talking about His Word day and night. Night and day. I'm meditating on it. I'm meditating on His Word day and night. Night and day. Your Word says this, Lord. Your Word says this. I don't fully understand this, God. Show me. Show me how this applies to me. God, if this promise is for me, and it is, Lord, I need to have that grow, that seed that grow inside of me over and over again, because I want to have the full harvest of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we know by the parable of the sower of the Word, that there are things that will try to steal the Word of God from you. Right? They will. So you have to discipline yourself to continue to constantly talk to yourself about what God has said. Now, how does this look for us on a practical basis? You're reading in the Word of God. And so if you're not reading the Word of God every day, just forget everything I'm saying. In other words, if you're not making this personal and your relationship with God is not something then I don't know what to tell you. But if we'll take the Word of God and we'll give that our priority, and in that day and night, night and day, we'll begin to meditate on it and let it roll through us, then we can say, now, Lord, what about this? You said fear not, but boy, I'm getting all kinds of fearful thoughts. Lord, you said you're with me, so I don't feel you, but I know that you're with me. And you begin to meditate on it. You begin to talk to yourself. Now, Bruce, listen. I know what they're saying. I know what this feels like. I know that it seems impossible. But Bruce, listen to me. The Bible said, Jesus said to Bruce, all things are possible to those who believe. So God, if my unbelief is keeping the impossible from being come possible, then Lord, I'm asking you to help me with my unbelief. So give me the scriptures that I can feed on, God, that will starve the unbelief and fill the belief. Listen to what this says, and then we'll go on. He says, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. In other words, I'm meditating on the Word, and that's where I'm standing. And when it's time, that fruit is going to be produced, because I refuse to let anything come between me and what God wants me to do. Are you with me? Come on, He's for us. I said He's for us today. He's for us today. Are you with me? Now watch. This is so good and so important that we get this into us. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And again, many of you know these verses. I've quoted them many times. But listen to him with a fresh ear today. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, we have to present ourselves to God on a consistent basis. And God, because of everything that you've done for me, it's just reasonable that I worship you with who I am. Now look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. And the word conformed here, watch this. It's like I worked in Tulsa when I was going to school. I worked at this at a shop that had a plastic injection molding. So they'd make all kinds of trinkets and whatever. And what you do is you'd heat up the plastic to a certain degree, and then that would be forced into this mold. And it would be pressurized so much that when it cooled down, the shape of that was whatever the mold was. So it was conformed to the mold. And it says, don't be pressured to be like the world. Don't be pressured to do things the world's way. Don't be pressured. Watch this. Don't be pressured to watch the news like the world watches the news. Don't be pressured to listen to the reports like the world listens to the reports. Because you're different. I said, you're different. Why? Because you're born again. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. God has redeemed you. You're a child of the Most High God. He said, nothing is impossible for you. Come on. Look at verse 2. Again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't have faith outside of knowing what the will of God is. But you can know what the will of God is. Nobody knows what God wants to do. I'm sorry, but that's not true. I can because the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of me the moment that I gave Jesus, let Him become Lord of my life. When I asked Jesus to become Lord of my life, I became born again. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? So I'm not the same as the world. I don't have to be conformed to this. But watch, I'm going to read this a little different. And this is the Bruce translation, Pastor Bruce translation. Do not be conformed to this world, but change your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, if your mind is going a certain way, but the Word of God is going a different way, then you need to change your mind. And how do you change your mind? You have to wash your thoughts through the Word of God. And where the Word of God says this, then you change your mind, which is affected by your feelings and by your past and by everything that everybody else has said. You change that into what God's Word says. And then you stand on that. And if you don't believe that yet, you keep going back to the Holy Spirit. I believe, but I'm not quite there yet. Because here's what happens when you get to the place where you believe. Then it won't matter what the circumstances are. It won't matter what you see, what you taste, what you feel, because you know that the Word is true. God said it, God spoke it, that settles it for me. But here's what's happened, I believe. And here's what's happened. We've taken formulas and said, if I just do this, this, and this, just like that book said to do, then I'll have this, this, and this. And there may be some truth in that. But the formula without relationship will not get the job done. You read a testimony of a guy, well, I did this and I did that. Thinking of one particular man, he was on the deathbed, had been on there for, you know, a year and a half. And I mean, all the doctors had given up on him, but he was reading the Word of God and he came across the Scripture. And he said, I began to meditate on that, to read that. Day after day, I didn't have anything else to do. I couldn't go anywhere. And it was before cell phones, radio, and all that. So all I had was a Bible on my lap. And turned to that page, and I was in such a weak condition that I couldn't move the pages. I'd have to have Mom or Dad move the pages. But it was right on that particular Scripture. And day after day after day after day after day after day, I began to think about it, meditate on it. And then suddenly on the inside, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about some things. And then I acted on it, and I was raised off of that deathbed. So we take that testimony and we go, oh, bless God. If I just speak this over myself for, you know, 10 days, then I'll be healed. And no, you need to stay with it and let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you and be honest with, Lord, I believe, but there's something in me that doesn't believe. And so I'm going to flush out that unbelief with your word so that I'm fully persuaded as Abraham was in Romans chapter 4. Is this making sense to you?
Amen.
See, I want to believe for the impossible.
Yes.
Why? Because I want to see people come into our services, or really, watch this, into our presence. One way and changed and leave a different way. You know, that can happen here in this building. We've watched it happen over and over again in our meetings, right? We have. But that can happen at the gas station.
Yes.
Right? That can happen at work.
Yes.
But not if you're not available for the fruit to be produced. Anybody available this morning?
Amen.
Anybody want God to use you this morning?
Amen.
then what I'm challenging you to do is to begin to look at the Word fresh and new and begin to meditate on the Word of God day and night and begin to be honest with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I'm believing for my daughter. I'm believing for my son. I'm believing for my brother. I'm believing for my friend. But Lord, if there's any doubt in me, I need it to come out. And I'm going to do that by meditating on your word. And Lord, I'm going to let your word change my mind. Let me say that again. I'm going to let your word change my mind. I'm going to let your word change my mind. It might not be popular. People might not like it. But I'm not concerned with that, God, because I want supernatural fruit that remains. So, Lord, use me, show me, teach me. Glory to God. It should be that we could come up to one another at any time. This is my goal. This is what I would love to see happen for all of us. Call each other, what are you meditating on? Instead of, how are you doing? Which we really... just something we say. How are you doing? But I've heard one guy say, well, do you really care? I don't believe you do. I just believe you're just saying it to say it. But how about we, hey, what are you meditating on? What scriptures the Lord put on your heart? What are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about Isaiah 43. Or I'm thinking of, you know, Matthew chapters, you know, whatever. God is really, I've been pondering this and thinking about this over and constantly, and something. I'm going to close, but just tell you an experience that I just had. It was just this week. I was in my devotion time, and I put on YouTube is. I mean, it's got a lot of terrible stuff on it, but it's got some great stuff on it, too. Yes. I went on it, and I just put in search for soaking music. And it's, you know, worship songs, instrumental. But as it was there, and I was just listening to it, there were scriptures that began to pop up. And so while I'm listening and letting that music come into me, I'm also meditating on the Scripture. Powerful. Very powerful. That's what I want for us. Why? Well, so that you can be at more peace. Since you can know God better, but also so that we can be used. I would just say this in closing. You know that heaven is real. Right? I just had a friend of mine that I knew in California just went home to be with the Lord. And I know Dick was absolutely saved and just a man of God. And so I know he's with Jesus right now. Right? But I've also known people that have died that I wasn't sure about. And if I believe the Bible, and I do... not all good people go to hell, heaven. Let me say that again. Not all good people go to heaven. Why? Because our goodness is not good enough. You can't be good enough to be good enough. It only takes the goodness of God, who is sent in the form of Jesus, to take our place for our lack. That we could be made righteous. So without Jesus Christ, hell is real. Amen. Hell is real. Amen. And watch this. People don't go to hell because they're bad. Because if that was the case, we'd all be there. Amen. People go to hell because they don't choose Jesus. So you have a lot of friends, a lot of people that you know, a lot out there in the world that need Jesus. Let's bear some fruit, okay? Yeah. Let's believe God for fruit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word. Nothing, You said. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. So Lord, right now I'm believing for those who are watching or here in the room that have a broken heart, that have been put through the ringer in their lives. Lord, I'm believing You to heal their brokenheartedness. I'm believing for restoration of what the devil meant for evil, that You're going to turn for good in people's lives. I'm believing You, God, for people that need healing to be healed. I'm believing You, God, for people who need provision for it to be provided for. I'm believing You, God, for the impossible to become possible. So, Lord, right now, I just yield to You by Your Spirit that You would see that people's needs would be met right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You said lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. You said You'd give Your church words of knowledge. So whoever it is in the room or watching online that has a severe headache, I just command that to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Be free from that right now in Jesus' name. I just speak right now to the spirit of suicide that's over people's hearts and their minds, that give up spirit, I just command it to be broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would just touch them with the light of Your gospel. I pray for it now in Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never made Him the Lord of your life, it's really simple to do, but it requires everything that you are. And what I mean is that you have to believe in your heart and you have to say with your mouth that Jesus is the Messiah, that He came to take my sin. And the second part of that is that you've got to speak it out with your mouth and say, Jesus, I receive You as my Savior. And because You were raised from the dead and You still live, I believe that I'm going to live in You. If you did that this morning, you're born again. Come and be with Him, right? Come and be with Him. There's great, great hope in Jesus. We've got a mighty God that we serve. Father, we just thank You for the service. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, because we believe all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.